So I just want to say, if this is not something you're familiar with, don't switch off, because it is important. Yeah, it's something that all believers should think about, because it is a question of biblical worship, and that is something that we need to talk about, because we want to do things right.
Welcome back to another episode of Hymn Partial, where we talk all things church music. I'm Monet Funke.
I'm Cara Devereaux.
Yes, and today we will be talking about psalm only...
Exclusive psalmody.
Exclusive psalmody. I messed that up.
It's the same thing. It's just, that's the fancy name.
Excellent, excellent. But before we jump in, I just want to encourage you, if you're watching us for the first time, or if you've been here a few times but you've forgotten to subscribe, hit that subscribe button. It lets us know that we've got an audience, and it allows us to interact with you. And as we're going along, if there's something that we say, you want to leave a comment, go ahead and leave a comment. We do reply to our comments, and we are excited to hear from you. So, Cara, you have quite a topic to unravel for us today.
I have quite a topic indeed. If I'm honest, I'm not sure how many of you will be aware of this debate. And even if you're aware of it, I'm not entirely sure how aware you're going to be. I don't know. Is this something you're familiar with?
You know, honestly, I have really only heard of this kind of tradition of singing psalms only since moving to Scotland. So it's a lot of that. That's kind of a theme, I think, when it comes to our episodes, is that I kind of was made aware of certain things by moving across the pond.
Well, interestingly, it is quite a big debate in the US, but it tends to keep to Presbyterian circles. So being Baptists, we might not really come across it as much. The reason I've come across it is because I've lived and worshipped in the Highlands, and it's been an interesting experience at times, in good ways too. So yeah, we're talking about exclusive psalmody, and I should just say this isn't about whether we should sing psalms, because we should sing psalms, because psalms are scripture and it's good to sing scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no debate about that. What we do want to talk about is whether we should only sing psalms, and that's what exclusive psalmody is. It's the viewpoint that psalms are the only appropriate songs to sing in worship.
Okay.
Just to say, I need to do a disclaimer at the beginning, because this can be quite an emotional topic for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There are some very strong feelings about it, and it can be very easy for people to get quite aggravated. But also, it's quite a niche subject, sort of, but not really. So I just want to say, if this is not something you're familiar with, don't switch off, because it is important. Yeah, it's something that all believers should think about, because it is a question of biblical worship, and that is something that we need to talk about, because we want to do things right.
Amen.
Yeah. This issue has split churches, though. Like, I've known people that have been in churches that have left because of this issue.
You find a lot of music issues split churches or cause believers to leave, which actually makes me think maybe that'd be a good topic for another episode.
But yeah, let us know if you're interested. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
I think this one is slightly different, because there's a difference between hymns and contemporary worship issue, because neither of them are strictly the Bible. But because with the Psalms, we're talking about scripture as opposed to not scripture, which we'll get into later in more detail. Because of that, it is a slightly different issue. But yeah. So... yeah, we thought we have to cover this, because we can't be a podcast about church music and not do it. I'd be a bit remiss.
Yeah, no, we have to be responsible.
Well, sometimes, not always. yeah, so I first came across exclusive psalmody when I was studying. I studied in Dingwall in the Highlands, which is near Inverness, which is just, think Loch Ness and then a little bit north, if you don't know where it is, which most people don't. And it was really interesting. I noticed there are a lot of free churches up there, and there's the Church of Scotland up there, and both Presbyterian, and both have quite different ideas of worship, and some are stricter than others.
Okay.
And I have been in joint services where I have looked around during the singing, and there are people who will sing the Psalms with gusto, and the minute that we sing hymns, they will stand there tight-lipped and absolutely rage, like fuming. Yeah. So this is quite a big issue for some people.
Yeah.
That said, I want to give a fair and balanced overview of what the discussion actually is.
I mean, as much as possible. I think sometimes in general, Christians, we pretend like there's not such thing as a viewpoint or a bias. Maybe that's not entirely fair, but we do have a perspective. We do have a view on it. And I'm sure you'll lay that out. But being fair and being honest, and I think being charitable is what we're called to do. Yeah, most definitely.
I think it is important to represent people that you don't necessarily agree with in a way that doesn't make them out to be fools and doesn't, you know, straw man them and stuff. Because how are you supposed to have a conversation if you're just going to completely shred someone without considering that some of their arguments are legitimate? So that's my little disclaimer over, because it can be a very emotional topic, and I don't want to rile anyone and I don't want to stress anyone out. So the way we're going to do this is that I'm going to talk about I'm basically going to give reasons that the exclusive psalmody people give for using exclusive psalmody, and then we'll just discuss each point. But I need to say that I'm going to start with the weaker arguments and we're going to build up. So don't stress out if you're hearing this and you're thinking, oh, that's not what I say, that's a rubbish argument. We're going to get there.
Yes.
Yeah. So one of the first points that comes up in discussion is why we're actually having this discussion. So those who hold to exclusive psalmody would argue that nowhere in the New Testament are we given permission to sing songs of our own making.
Okay.
Discuss.
Permission. That is an interesting word when it comes to Christian liberty, because we do a lot of things that we don't have permission to do in the Bible. I don't know if I'm being too unfair here, but I'm pretty sure we don't have permission to use electricity during our services.
I mean, yeah, that is an example, you know? But
during worship, I guess, do we have permission to sit or stand or to?
That's true.
I mean, we know we are allowed to play a bunch of instruments. We kind of went over that.
That's another discussion for another day.
Well, we were reading a psalm the other week during the organ episode that was pretty clear about how to praise the Lord with cymbals and pipe and stringed instruments.
I'm all for the strings.
Okay, I don't want to get ahead. I'll let you do that.
But no, we're going to focus on psalms.
Yeah. that is an interesting word, I think, permission, because and I don't mean to break apart your words. Maybe that's just a word you chose just now. But I think we have to be careful with that kind of language when we're talking about how we worship the Lord. We want to worship Him right. And we do have, I think, very clear things in Scripture of what it means to worship the Lord. It's not just in song. You know, plenty of worship books out there written. It's not about just what you do with your voice and with the instrument. It's about your life.
Yep.
So, you know, there's lots in the Scriptures about how to worship the Lord.
Okay.
But permission's a scary word.
Permission's a scary one. I was going to talk about what's called the regulative principle, which means that we only do the things that we are given explicit commands to do in Scripture.
Okay.
So those who are exclusive psalmody would hold to the regulative principle, saying we've been given the Psalms, we've got a hymn book in the middle of our Bible, that's what God has given us, we should use it. There are some other issues around that which we will get to, but in essence it comes down to, there's a verse in Ephesians, I think it's 5:16, and there's another one in Colossians that I don't remember the reference for. Should have written it down, but it talks about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Yeah.
So we are commanded to sing psalms explicitly.
And hymns.
This is where the question arises. So I would say yes, but exclusive psalmists would say that psalms are psalms, obviously. Hymns are a kind of psalm. And spiritual songs mean spirit-inspired songs. which would be the Psalms because they're in scripture.
Okay. So would their argument, I don't know if you're going to say this, but would their argument be that those Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is like an emphasis, like a trinity, like holy, 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 like...
Kind of like a rhetorical device. Yeah. Okay. So Paul was a very accomplished... What is the word? Rhetorician? Speaker. Yes. Good speaker.
He spoke real good.
Yeah. Unlike me. So instead of saying, you must sing psalms, 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 he's like psalms and this other kind of psalms and spirit-inspired psalms. That's fair. I get it. I think it's difficult to say that for certain that's what Paul meant. I think we have to be very careful about putting words in scripture's mouth, basically.
Yeah.
So I would hesitate to argue either way using that verse. There are places in the New Testament where there's question about whether the verses are actually taken from hymns of the early church. But again...
Okay.
Again, hard to prove.
Yeah.
Either way. So I think this is one of those things where you just got to step really carefully. Mm-hmm. So an interesting argument I did come across was that if you think about the passages where it talks about gifts that are given to the church, mm-hmm. Apostles, prophets, all those things.
Yeah.
Music and song is never mentioned.
Mm.
So that
controversial.
Yeah. So the argument is it's never mentioned because it's not needed.
Oh, interesting. I mean, I don't want to be too critical of these arguments. I know we're kind of starting with the weaker ones and moving in, but it just feels like my spidey senses tingle when you say those kind of things, because I'm like, the logic behind coming to those positions feels inconsistent with the rest of how we approach the rest of our Christian life.
Yeah. So there are no mentions of gifts of hospitality either.
And, okay.
You know, hospitality is a major part of the Christian life.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult one. Again, I understand that argument, but I don't necessarily agree with it because there are many gifts that exist in the church that are not mentioned in the gift passages.
It almost feels like, and I know we keep saying we want to be fair. We do. I want to be charitable here, but it almost feels like if you're looking for ghosts, you're going to find ghosts, or the opposite. If you don't want to see ghosts, you're going to just be like, nope, that's not a ghost. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if that really translates properly. I speak good. But I think what I'm trying to say is, you know, if you have a presupposition that it is wrong to do X, mm-hmm. then when you come to the text and you're confronted with X, then you're going to just reject it because you're in your mind, you've already said this is, you know, whereas I feel like, you know, as a Christian whose mind has been changed and whose ego has been checked many times by scripture, it should be that we should look to have our minds changed by scripture.
Yeah.
That's just an attitude. Sorry, I know I'm going on a tangent. I'll come back.
No, it's totally okay. It's a good conversation to have. It's fine.
Continue.
No, I think you're right. I think we do have to be aware that everyone has biases and everyone has things that are just kind of hardwired into our perspective. And I'm not saying you have to change your mind, but I'm saying that it is important to be aware of these things in both directions, because then you can be aware of your biases, which can help you recognize maybe I'm reading this text in a way that justifies what I'm doing when actually it's open. Mm.
For the record, I mean, I've not experienced it offhand, but I think there's something really beautiful and really, I don't want to say admirable, like as if it's something, but there is something that I kind of long for when I think of singing the Psalms, and because I haven't had that personal experience in a church that I belong to, mm-hmm. it's not me throwing baby out with the bathwater either. I'm not saying like, I don't understand why people feel this way, because actually I'm sure there's much power in singing the Psalms that makes you feel like, well, why do we need anything? You know, what, this is great. Why do we need that other stuff? But I won't jump the gun, hopefully, on that conversation.
There are aspects of that we will pick up later. Okay. About, you know, yeah, we'll talk about it. Yes. In a bit. We'll get there. but basically, when it comes down to this argument, there are a lot of things that aren't expressly banned in the New Testament, and there are things that are not explicitly permitted in the New Testament. But if you think about it, the New Testament, in fact, the whole Bible, is everything we need for life and godliness. Mm-hmm. And it may not expressly say it's wrong to watch 10 hours of Netflix in a day, but it, but it does say that we are to use our time profitably and for the good of the kingdom. And yeah, watching 10 hours of Netflix is,
yeah,
not really.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yes, there are things that are not given permission or denied permission, but there are principles around it that we can use to guide our behavior. So that's something to bear in mind as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another reason that's given for why we shouldn't sing hymns, we're going to go through the historical ones, and then we're going to get to the more kind of biblically, philosophically thinky things. So I don't know what the word is. I was trying to think about it, and I was like, I don't know what the word is.
I like what you came up with there. That was
there
nice.
There you go. Get that on a t-shirt. And so, yeah, another reason, it jumps forward slightly, just after the end of the New Testament. And the argument is that the early church didn't sing hymns. They sang exclusive psalmody.
How would we know that?
We do know that. I have a good friend, Dr. Nick Needham. And
all right, name dropping.
He wrote some he's an excellent historian. He's really good. He wrote some great church history books that you guys should check out. And I asked him about this, and it was very helpful and enlightening.
Okay, enlighten us.
I will. So the claim that the early church didn't sing hymns is not historically honest at all. The other part of this argument is that hymns came in at the same point as the church started to go off in a Roman Catholic direction. So we don't sing hymns because we don't want to become papists. And I'm not going to engage with that argument because...
That's silly.
Yeah, no. That's not historically honest. It's not theologically honest. No. It's just, yeah. But outside of scripture, the earliest apparent reference to hymn singing is from Pliny the Younger. May or may not have heard of. If you're a history person, you'll, the Plinys might be familiar.
That's not me.
Okay. he gives an account of Christians that he arrested early in the 2nd century. And it's important to remember the 2nd century is the 100s AD.
Yeah.
So this is not long after John the Apostle died.
Yeah.
He's arresting Christians, and he says, quote, "They were accustomed to meet on a fixed day before dawn and sing responsively a hymn to Christ as a God."
Hmm.
Which might have been Psalms, might not.
Don't they record Paul singing Psalms when he gets locked up? Or hymns, excuse me? Singing hymns when he's...
It's argued that Paul, being such a great Jew and being so well-trained, he would have been singing Psalms. But again, that's another one that you can't really say either way.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess that's a translation issue then, which that's way above my pay grade. But yeah, it does say hymns in the scripture. Doesn't it say like that they were singing hymns?
Well, it depends on how you're inclined to interpret the word hymns again.
I see.
So the Greek word hymnos, I think it is it's a song to gods or heroes in praise of them, which covers the Psalms, really. So it's a difficult one. It's about interpretation again.
All right. You're going to convince me. Psalm only.
We're going to go with Tertullian, who was later in the 2nd century. So getting into the first generation that wouldn't have known the apostles.
Okay.
Actually, maybe they would have if John died quite late, first or second, early 2nd century. I can't remember when he died. Anyway, besides the point, you've got Tertullian, who said, "After they have washed their hands and the lights have been brought in, each person is asked to stand up and to sing, to the best of his ability, a hymn to God, either taken from Holy Scriptures or one of his own composing. So, the argument that the early church didn't sing hymns holds no water, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we didn't really believe that, but...
yeah.
I mean, it's good to have that affirmed, but I think to understand how to address these debate topics with scripture, that is like a really important skill. And I, you know, historically and with scripture, obviously where the Bible is silent, we don't want to guess and we don't want to fill in the blanks and presume, but we can look to tradition in some cases. Don't want to get in trouble. we can look to tradition in some cases and say, okay, well, are we off in interpreting something like Paul was singing hymns to mean what we think of it as now? Like, we could dig into it and see that historical kind of account. Like, yeah, they were singing their own songs. Mm-hmm. You know, they composed it. So
I think the point of emphasizing that the early church sang hymns is not to say that it's the right thing, but to say that it's not a new thing. It didn't just pop up suddenly and now we all do it.
Yeah.
This is a historic thing.
Totally.
Which doesn't justify it or doesn't condemn it, but it does just say this is not a new issue. Mm-hmm. One of the earliest known hymns is called Gloria in Excelsis? Excelsis?
Depends on how good is your Latin?
Yeah, my Latin's terrible.
I feel like in choir we always said Chelsea's, but maybe we were just butchering Latin.
I've heard it both ways. Genuinely have.
Yes.
It's actually still part of the Anglican liturgy, the English translation. It's the one that's like, glory to God in the highest, on peace, on earth, peace, goodwill to all men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you. It goes on. Mm-hmm. You can look it up. But that would be 2nd, 3rd century Greek hymn.
Yeah.
So 200s and 300s. Which is not that long after Christ, really. And then by the time you're reaching the 4th century, hymns are pretty commonplace. Psalms are still commonplace. But hymns are really in the mix as well.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the early church was right, but it does kind of throw some shade on the assertions being made. And I think when we discuss things like this, we need to be as honest as we can in our argumentation and not kind of just pull things out of thin air.
Absolutely.
So, taking a great bounding leap forward in time to the Reformation, we have the Reformers, and the argument is that Calvin himself was Psalms only, and one of the great things about the Reformation was the restoration of psalm singing, which was part of moving from the idolatrous Catholic worship back into true biblical worship.
That logically makes a lot of sense why the Reformers would be more concerned with ditching anything that's not scriptural. I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It's surprising.
Yeah.
But it makes sense to me.
They did have you've got sola scriptura as one of the solas. Like, they really valued the Bible, and that was partly why the Reformation happened.
Yeah.
The Reformers did believe in singing from the Word of God, and rightly so. But there are a few interesting facts around this that don't bear up the narrative.
I think I'm thinking of one, but I'm going to let you. No.
Do you want to go?
I'm just going to say, didn't Martin Luther pin a very famous hymn? Am I going crazy?
Oh, are you thinking about that one that nobody's ever heard of? What's it called? Oh, yeah. A Mighty Fortress Is Our
God. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the argument is that, he's Lutheran, obviously being Luther, he's Lutheran, and we're Calvinists, and Calvin didn't believe in...
He's still a reformer, though. He was part of the Reformation.
Yeah, but there's... I have strong opinions on how not Protestant Martin Luther was at times. He was Catholicism, right?
No. I know. That's we'll maybe not a topic out. For this, yeah. this podcast. Maybe another podcast. But okay, yes, fair
so
enough.
So we're talking Calvin.
Calvinists.
Because we're Calvinists.
Yes.
Calvin wasn't an exclusive psalmist.
What?
I know. I'm so sorry, guys. He did hold them in really high regard, rightly so. He believed in singing from other places in the Bible too. So after the communion hymn, he would have them sing. There's a song that, is it Simeon in the temple when they bring baby Jesus to him?
Yeah.
Simon or Simeon? I don't know.
I want to say Simeon, but now I'm questioning my Bible knowledge.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter, does it? But they bring baby Jesus to him and he breaks out in song and he had them sing that. And he also had them sing things like the Ten Commandments to help them learn them.
Yeah.
So he was someone who believed in singing the Bible. And I think he was totally right about that.
Absolutely.
But he wasn't strictly Psalms. The other thing that he had people sing was the Apostles' Creed.
Right.
Which is biblical, but not canonical.
Yeah, yeah, it's not in there, but it's... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very biblical, but it is not the Bible. Yeah. So that's a very whistle-stop tour of the Reformation argument. And we're going to...
Cool.
Go on.
I just said cool.
Cool, okay. We're going to move from history into... Yes, those other arguments that are not historical.
Okay, lay it on us.
Exclusive psalmists, I think that's what you call them, believe that the Psalms are wholly sufficient for worship today. So that comes into what you were saying about, you know, sometimes you're singing them and you just think, wow, this just is so good. Why would I ever need anything else? And there are several reasons, and I think we should go through them one at a time.
All right.
I just want to say, if you want to hear a really, really good explanation from someone who is, I'm not sure if he's Psalms only, but he's very strong on the Psalms, a guy called Terry L. Johnson.
Okay.
There is a sermon online. I think it's called Why Should We Sing the Psalms? And I found that immensely helpful.
Okay.
It's a very measured, gracious talk that he gives. And I found it, it was really, really helpful for me.
We'll put a link in the description if you want to check it out.
He also wrote a great book on the identity and attributes of God, which is worth reading.
Plug, not sponsored. But we could be.
So the first reason is doctrinal completeness. So to quote Mr. Johnson, Reverend Johnson, it's what the Bible has to say, but put in a musical and metrical form.
Okay. I don't know, completeness.
Well, he would argue that the Psalms do cover pretty much all of our theology. You've got salvation, you've got redemption, you've got sanctification, you've got eschatology in there, you've got creation in there, you've got worship in there, you've kind of got ecclesiology in there with some of the songs of ascent and stuff.
Yes, but... What about Jesus?
We'll get to that.
Okay. Sorry, I just keep skipping it.
No, you're right. I immediately thought of a long list of hymns that can do those things as well. So yes, the Psalms are excellent, and I absolutely agree with that. He does argue part of his thing is that you'd be hard-pressed to find hymns as well that go into the full depth of human experience, particularly the darker aspects of Christian life.
Yeah, in some instances. I mean, some of the Psalms are pretty brutal. But yeah, I think some of the Psalms can get quite dark. But no, absolutely, I think it's a fair point.
But again, I can think of a long list of hymns that do really talk about things like sin and sorrow and all of these things in great ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking about, well, actually, sin. Do we really talk about sin enough in songs, in hymns? And then I thought about that song, I ask the Lord that I might grow.
I was thinking of the exact same song. I was like, oh, Wally Wally came back.
Yes.
It's the same tune. If you guys haven't watched it, you should watch our episode. Oh, yes. Watch our episode on When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We talk a little bit about that. It's pretty excellent.
Yes. Little Isaac Watts. Aww. So the next one is we should sing the Psalms because they have an emotional wholeness and a devotional excellence. So you'll get the full range of human emotion in the Psalms. Mm. And they have a depth of devotion that hymns don't have.
You had me until there.
Yes.
Until that last line.
I think you can make the argument if you pick and choose your hymns, because there are some absolutely appalling hymns out there.
Of course, yes.
Personally, I think the Victorians were very sentimental, and I think that some modern music can be very fluffy. It can be.
Definitely, yeah.
The next argument is a strong one, and I kind of agree, which is Catholicity. So not in the sense of, you know, these people that say we'll be papists if we sing hymns.
Yeah.
But in the sense of being a universal worldwide church.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about hymn books is if you look down through the ages, a lot of denominations have their own hymn books.
Yeah.
So you've got the Baptist hymnal, you've got Methodist, you've got Anglicans, you've even got like Catholic and Mormon hymnals.
Mm-hmm.
But the Psalms don't belong to anybody, and therefore they belong to everybody.
There's a fair point there, right? Because it's all in our same Bible, right? We could all crack open our Bible, sing Psalm 31. Don't know what Psalm 31 is talking about, but we could all sing it and we all know what it's about. And if I say, oh, this hymn is on Psalm fill in the blank, then we all know what it's mm-hmm. about. And then we could sing and rejoice thinking of maybe the times that we've reflected on that Psalm and it's been preached. And so, yes, of course, but so is all of Scripture, and hymns actually good hymns. They're always pulling from that universal text, that text that we all, you know, it's always pulling from this same good and great God who, you know, think about lines that are repeated in the Psalms over and over again, you know, like his steadfast love endures forever. Well, that's true if you say it literally like that, or you say, you know, God's love it is steadfast and it never ever ends.
Yep.
And if you say that in, you know what I'm saying? Like you could say the same truths about the Scripture and put it to a different, in a different context of your praise.
The other thing you need to think about is that when you look at hymnals across the denominations, there are certain hymns that will turn up in all of them. Mm. There are hymns that just are there across the board. And if you look at them, they tend to be the really scripturally saturated hymns. They're Isaac Watts, you'll find him in practically everybody's hymn book. Charles Wesley as well, you get him in a lot of hymn books.
Yeah.
So yes, I get the argument about the Psalms being for everybody, but there are hymns that have stood the test of time and that have stood the test of denomination and divide that still, they're just so biblically based that if you believe in the Bible, you can sing it wholeheartedly, regardless.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I actually think we are out of time, so we're going to have to cut this episode in half. That means if you've made it this far, stick around for our episode next week where we'll talk about...
We're going to talk about some pretty... It gets even more intense. Yay! We're going to talk about understanding what we're singing. We're going to talk about the issue of translation, of paraphrasing, of whether the Psalms that we sing are actually inspired Scripture or whether they're just based on Scripture, which I'm slightly nervous about, but I think it's going to be a really good discussion.
Absolutely, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. So I think that's going to wrap it up for us here on Hymn Partial. If you haven't already, I'm going to tell you again, hit that subscribe button. Let us know what you thought. You probably have a lot of thoughts on Exclusive Psalmody. We want to hear it in the comments. Until then, I'm Renee Funke.
I'm Kara Devereaux.
May the Lord bless you and keep you.